The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we are back around the kiosk in the mini shear style version. Okay, so we're going to have to experiment with what the patterns are here. But what I'm hoping for is same thing that we did last year, but just spread over days, which will give us time to think about stuff. And obviously not cover as much ground because it's 15 minutes instead of an hour. So before we do this, one PSA. Okay, so I've talked before about the new Shelat edition of the Mishnah Torah, which is the most accurate version, which is the one that's on Ala Torah. And thankfully, because I have sponsored the two sections of it, then I got a free copy, two free copies of the hard edition, hardcover edition, and one of them I donated to Yeshiva. So this is going to be kept up there by the tall Rambams. And I still like the fancy footnote edition, which we used last year for learning purposes because of the explanatory stuff. But you should know that if you want accuracy, then you'll use that one. And there's not a ton of differences between the two, but it is there. Okay. So what I don't know what I want to do long-term, but for starters, I want to do something in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay. Not the most halachic area, but really quickly, okay, before we start, I want to go over the structure of Hilchos Tshuva. Okay. So let's see. So first of all, you know, there's the Koseres, right, which is the introduction to each section. Okay, this is a Rambam trivia question. Okay, what was it? Oh boy, okay. What makes the Koseres to Hilchos Tshuva different from all the other Koseros in all the sections of the Mishnah Torah?
If you had to take an educated guess,
yeah.
Doesn't list any mitzvah.
Wrong. It does. Oh. There is one mitzvah. And there are other sections in the Mishnah Torah that don't list mitzvahs. But that's a good guess. That is a good guess. Yeah. Either you'll know this or you won't. You can't guess this one.
What was the question? The
question is, so the Rambam in every intro to every section has, I'll give an example, has something called the Koseres. So you go to Hilchos Kriya Shema, and before the first parak, it says Hilchos Kriya Shema, mitzvah sase achas vihi likros Kriya Shema pa'amayim bayom. So there's one mitzvah sase. It's to read Kriya Shema twice a day. Ubir mitzvah zuv v'parakim elu. An explanation of this mitzvah is in these chapters. Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't say whether it's a mitzvah sase or rotas.
Wrong. Good guess though. Good guess. Yeah. So the question is, what makes the Koseres of Hilchos Tshuva different from everywhere else in the Mishnah Torah? Okay, well, go ahead. Go ahead. No, but you're the getting hotter. All right, so watch this. Okay, let's look at one more example. Okay.
I don't know what Koseres is.
Koseres is where the Rambam lists. Yeah, Koseres is the intro. They call it the Hagdama here. It's where he tells you which mitzvos are going to be talked about in the section.
Like so he'll outline.
Outline, yeah. So Hilchos Kriya Shema only has one mitzvah, but let's just do another one that has more than one mitzvah. Let's do Hilchos Chametz Matzah, okay? So he says, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Yesh Bichlal and Shmona mitzvos. There are eight mitzvos. Shalosh mitzvos asei, v'chamesh mitzvos los asei. Okay, and then he lists all of them, and he says Ubir mitzvah zo b'prakim elo. And the explanation of this mitzvah is in these prakim. Your only hope, Chaim. What makes the Koseres of Hilchos Tshuva different than all the other Koseres in the Mishnah Torah? Okay, so here's what it is. Okay, good. I get to teach you something. Okay, that's why I came here. Okay, so Hilchos Tshuva, it says this. Mitzvah to say achas, there's one mitzvah to say, v'hi shiyashu v'chotepe mecheto lifnei Hashem b'yizvade, that the sinner should return from his sin before Hashem and confess. Ubir mitzvah zu, and the explanation of this mitzvah, v'ikarim hanigrarim ima biglala b'prakim elu. The explanation of this mitzvah and the fundamental principles that are dragged along with it because of it are explained in these chapters. Okay? This is the only place in the Mishnah Torah where he says this, unbelievably so, because you would think, what other section of the Mishnah Torah might you think he says that there are Ikarim that are like dragged along with it?
The part of Pasuk Zeristotle.
Yeah, the part of Pasuk Zeristotle. Yeah, Hilchos Yisodei Torah, where he talks about the Ikarim. Like it's called Yisodei Torah, but here he has these Ikarim that are drawn along with it. Okay, so just background question. Okay, oh, by the way, also, I think the pattern that I kind of like to establish for this year's Rambam Bekiyos in these, the mini thingies.
I just forgot my hand raising.
Oh, okay. pattern I like to establish maybe is because we're not going to have infinite time. Not that we ever did. Maybe we'll alternate between like raising questions one day and then letting them percolate and then trying to answer them the next day, you know? So one question here is like, what does he mean that the Ikarim are dragged along with Tshuva? Okay. And while we're on the Koseres, I missed an opportunity here. Okay. Whenever I taught this in high school, I would always ask like, what would you guess the formulation of the mitzvah is of doing Tshuva? What was that?
I thought you meant that. No.
Yes, you did. Yeah. And let's forget about that because that was last year's Sfara, right?
Okay,
good. What would you have guessed that the mitzvah of tshuva is? Like what the formulation? Again, Kriya Shema is very simple. Read Shema twice a day.
Saying how it's like how you do it.
Yeah, how would you write it in one sentence?
How do you write up?
Yeah.
I'll say what I would have said.
Yeah. See, I said what you would have said, yeah. Yeah, to return from your sin, right? To do tshuva from your sin.
Cease doing what you're doing.
Okay, right. Yeah, exactly. So in other words, either refer to the tshuva process alone or break it down into parts. And you notice what he does do though is he says, Shiyashufa chote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yisvadeh, that the sinner should return from his sin. Then he adds lifnei Hashem, okay, sin before Hashem, and confess. And this is the classic question of what's the relationship between tshuva and vidui. Okay, this question is raised every year. The style in my day was to quote Reb Chaim, okay? And he has a classic answer. Anyone know what it is? Yeah?
I'm still trying to understand why the question is such a strong question.
It's not.
Like, we're saying that it's confession as a component of...
No, the question... Okay, sorry. The question is we would have said, what's the mitzvah in Hilchos Tshuva to do tshuva, right?
Yeah.
But the Rambam has two more things than that. He says, that the sinner should do tshuva from his sin before Hashem and confess. So the two things that intrigue me are the sin before Hashem. I mean,
it's implied already.
Yeah, it's implied already, or like it's just like seems like a detail. It doesn't seem like something you would include in the minimal formulation of the mitzvah, you know. And then confession, he seems to highlight as a separate. You know, like he isolates that as something worthy of mention. But the real question comes from the fact that if you look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which we don't have time to do today, he focuses exclusively on vidui, okay, on confession. And then where's the other place you want? There, okay, let's review our Rambam methodology here. Rabbi Zucker advised me, okay, Rambam in one of his letters says, you should take the Mishnah Torah and you should make it your book. So I asked Rabbi Zucker when I was Yeshiva Booker, Rabbi Zucker, how do I make the Mishnah Torah my book, right? So he said, that was an imitation of Chaim, doing an imitation of a little kid. He gave me this really good advice. He says, the Rambam talks about a mitzvah in four places. He introduces a mitzvah in four places, okay? One is the Koseres, which we just read. The other is the Sefer HaMitzvos, which the Rambam wrote before he wrote the Mishnah Torah. What are the other two places you go to get like an overview of the mitzvah?
The
Minyan HaMitzvos in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. And then the last one? The actual halakhos, the first halakhos. So if you look at the Minyan HaMitzvos, okay, the list of mitzvos to say, and it's Ayin Gimel, don't ask me how I remember that. Oh, because I learn about tshuva every year. Okay, so yeah. So here's how he formulates it here. L'his vados lifnei Hashem mikol chet shiaseh ha'adam b'shas ha'korban v'shlo b'shas ha'korban. That a person should confess before Hashem from every sin that man does at the time of a korban and not at the time of a korban. Shenemar, as it says, v'his vado es chatasam asher asu. They should confess the sins that they did. So no mention of tshuva. Just vidui, okay? And in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, in Tshuva Aleph, he also says, we might as well read this now, even though we're going to focus on Tshuva, but this is important. We'll just do the first halacha. Kol ha-mitzvos shebatorah, all the mitzvos of the Torah, bein aseh, bein lo aseh, whether positive or negative, im avar adam al achas mehen, if a person transgresses one of them, bein bezadam, bein bishgaga, whether intentionally or unintentionally. You notice he doesn't say, That's on purpose. That's intent. I'm just calling that intentionally. What? Ones, right? Now, why might you, and what is ones?
Forced.
Yeah, either coerced or.
Or like unavoidable.
Yeah, unavoidable. Yeah, totally unavoidable, right? Now,
extraneous circumstance.
Yeah, you're basically, it's not an act of will at all, right? Zadon means you do it willfully knowing that it's wrong. Shogig is you do it willfully not knowing it's wrong. Right, or forgetting that it's wrong. Why am I remarking on the fact that it doesn't say ones? Yeah?
Yes, maybe saying that there anything but ones, there's nothing with me I've shown to correct.
Oh, sorry, you're answering a different question, which is also good. I'll give you a big clue here. What do we say in the Yom Kippur liturgy that might...
Unintentional sense?
Yeah, let me say, what do we say in the Yom Kippur liturgy that might lead you to think that you have to do vidui even on accident, on ones sins?
Oh, when we, Ashar Sandar? No.
Well, I say that. We say, like, even for the unintentional.
Well, unintentional shagag. I think you're saying the right answer, but I think you're just using the wrong lashon. Is we say the ones uver ratzon, right?
Oh, man.
Ones uratam. So is this a machlokus between the Rambam and our Vidoy? I don't know. You know, but Rambam only mentions Zadon and Shkaga.
Oh, wait, what's the one
language? You were saying unintentional. And unintentional is shogeg. Yeah, shogeg. No, so shogeg is unintentional.
Right.
Ones is either accidental or coerced. Accidental meaning you trip and you hit a light on Shabbos.
Right.
Shogeg would be you don't know that turning on a light is usur, or you temporarily forget that it's Shabbos.
Or and that's what you're calling unintentional.
That's what you're. So shogeg is unintentional, right? And I was asking on ones why he doesn't mention ones here.
Oh, why he doesn't mention ones?
Yeah. Okay, but let's finish the formulation. So kisha yase teshuva v'yashuv necheto, when he does teshuva and returns from his sin, chayv lihis vados lifnei hakel baruch hu, he is obligated to confess before God. He does not say they're obligated to do teshuva, okay, right? And this is the classic question, right? Let's finish it up. Shnemar, as it says, ish o isha ki yasu mikol chatos adam limol mal bar Hashem v'ashma hanefesh v'his vado es chatasam asher asu, that a man or a woman, when they do any of the sins of man, to commit treachery against Hashem, and that soul will become guilty, they shall confess their sin that they did. Ze vidui dvarim, this is a verbal confession. U vidui ze mitzvah to say, this vidui is a positive mitzvah. Okay, so here he makes it seem that what is the essence of the mitzvah? Vidui, right? And tshuva, if anything, sounds like a condition which just puts you into the realm of the mitzvah. I mean, almost sounds like if you have a house that you live in, then you're chayav to put a mezuzah on it, right? But there's no obligation to go out there and build or acquire a house in order to put a mezuzah there.
You're saying there's no obligation to do teshuva, but if you are doing teshuva, then
that's the way he's making it sound here, right? He's saying kishaya. So all mitzvot of the Torah, whether aser or lo aser, if a person violated them, when he does teshuva and returns from his sin, then he's obligated to confess before God. So it sounds like the only obligation is the vidui.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So here we have, again, this is the classic question. And again, the reason why I'd like to go back to the classic, I was saying the style in my day was just someone would ask the question and someone would quote the Reb Chaim, which we'll have to like summarize later on, and then like move on. But like, you know, we have to re-examine these things every year because you get new answers every year, you know? And so the question is like, what is the relationship between vidui and tshuva? You know, let's just sum it up right now. In the Koseres, they're put on equal footing, right? That the mitzvah is that the chote should do tshuva and do vidui, okay? In the title of the section, he calls it Hilchos Tshuva,
yeah.
Not Hilchos Vidui.
Yeah.
In the Minyan Mitzvos, he puts the entire, he doesn't mention tshuva, he only says vidui. And in the first halacha of Perek Aleph, he makes tshuva a condition and then vidui the main mitzvah. And then let's see if I happen to have a, hold on just a second. Vidui? No. Mitzvah Ayin Gimel? No. Okay, you'll have to take my word for it for today that in the Sefer Mitzvos, it's all about vidui. Okay. But really quickly in the last, so we can decide what we, just so you can get an orientation here, I'm going to take you a quick walkthrough through the structure of Hilchos Teshuva. Aleph is about vidui and kapara. Beis is about the definition of teshuva and how to do it. Gimel is about how God judges the world and then who does and doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. 4 is about the things that withhold or prevent tshuva. 5 is about free will. 6 is about the questions on free will. 7 is about tshuva on character traits and the status of a baal tshuva. 8 is about reward in Olam Haba. 9 is about brachos and klalos, reward and punishment in Olam Hazeh. And 10 is about serving God out of love versus out of fear. Okay. So you can see just from the outline that like there are a lot of ikarim in here, especially in Gimel, which talks about who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. So what was it? So what I'm kind of envisioning is this week, let's just focus on the basic definitions of tshuva. And I don't want to focus on vidui except as insofar as it's related to tshuva. And I want to go over what the definition of tshuva is, maybe answer some of these questions. And then we'll decide what we want to do, you know, for the rest of the part. If we want to focus more on Hilchos tshuva, which is good to do during this time, or do something more halachic. And then we'll decide what we're going to do later on in the year. Okay. And the goal also of having this little mini shir, in addition to starting off afternoon Seder, is you should always be thinking about a Rambam. Okay, it's part of a healthy Torah diet, is always be thinking about a Rambam. And in these small dose questions, you can like have this in your mind as you go about your day, you know? So just to summarize the questions here, you know, what's the relationship between tshuva and vidui? Why does he specify mechet olifnei Hashem? And what does that even mean? You know, and then what is the implication of saying that there are ikarim that are dragged along with this? You know, those are possible questions here. Okay, stop for today.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.